talking over the last several weeks about different aspects of discipleship. We've talked about how our offerings, our tithes, are a part of our discipleship. That when we want to, as we grow in our faith, as we become the men and women God would have us to be, our tithes are part of our challenge as an offering to God. And that as we give our tithes, God promises to bless us over and above anything that we've given to Him. Now, if you think to yourself, well, I'm not making ends meet, well, I challenge you to start tithing. You say, well, I can't do that. I won't make my bills. Well, I challenge you to start tithing and see, prove God is faithful to His Word. And His Word says that you will not go wanting. Then we talked about the idea or the part of the Christian or the disciple's life of fasting. And how fasting can be used in our lives as a show of repentance for our sin. How fasting can be a part of our desire, a part of our efforts to grow closer in our relationship with God. And it can show God our seriousness about requests and needs that we have in our life as we fast over these things. And this morning, we're going to look at a message about overcoming the overwhelming. And these two things that we've talked about, we're going to talk more about more of the aspects of discipleship in the weeks to come. But what are some of the overwhelming things that come up in our lives? You know, as we were closing out the adult Sunday school hour, we were beginning to share prayer requests and look at that prayer sheet. I think it was Doreen mentioned a fellow named Cheney, who's suffering or battling being a diabetic, and that he's losing a toe, and that he has blood clots, and you know, we think about those things, and that's an overwhelming thing. If I was Mr. Cheney, I would be feeling very, very overwhelmed. And there's different things that come up in our lives that are overwhelming. Sometimes it's family, sometimes it's work, sometimes it's business. Sometimes it's other people around us. And we're going to take the opportunity this morning to take a look at this. In fact, most of us, I'm sure, can think of days in the past, and maybe even not the long past, that there was a very, very stressful situation, a very stressful time in our lives. And maybe for some of us, it was even this morning, trying to get our kids up and ready for Sunday school and church. But King David experienced times like this as well. And in Psalm 55, verses 1 through 7, it says, or David says, "Give ear to my prayer, O God. Do not hide yourself from my supplication. Attend to me and answer me. I am troubled in my complaint. I am distraught by the noise of the enemy because of the clamor of the wicked. For they bring trouble upon me, and in anger they cherish enmity against me." Or another way of saying is, they desire for me to be dead. "My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror overwhelms me, and I say, oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. Truly, I would flee far away. I would lodge in the wilderness." Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we've had a chance to read this prayer of David from Psalms 55. And in this psalm, he's expressing anguish. He's expressing the feeling of being overwhelmed. He's expressing what it's like to go through the times of difficulty in our lives. And I pray, dear Lord, that as we take a few moments to look at this passage of Scripture and one from Isaiah, I pray, Lord, that you will use it for your honor and for your glory. And may we realize through this where our strength comes from. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the history behind Psalms 55, we see David's feelings during events that are actually narrated in 2 Samuel chapters 15 through chapter 17. And what's taking place in David's life at this time is Absalom, one of his sons, has led a mass revolt in Israel against David. In fact, one of David's wisest advisors, one of his closest friends, one of the people that he depended on to a great extent, betrays him and actually joins Absalom's side. And eventually, David actually has to flee Jerusalem. Now, if you haven't ever read that story or haven't had the opportunity to hear it, look at 2 Samuel chapter 15 through 17 later this afternoon and see the distressing time that David was praying about in Psalms 55. As we think about the times of stress, the times that are overwhelming, the times that seem to hurt, one of the things that we tend to do is we tend to store up pain. We think to ourselves, oh, this is never going to go away. I can remember talking with a friend of mine in South Carolina who like Dan, has had several heart attacks. And he and I have had a chance to talk. He's storing up the pain because he refuses to let go of it and allow God to work in his heart and in his life and bring a fuller healing to him. He's holding on to some of that pain, but not only the pain of the heart attack, but he's holding on to the pain from other areas of his life. That's going to help those heart attacks come on that much easier. Or we nurture our hurt. In other words, we take time and we dwell on the things that people have done against us. You know, and I'm sure everyone here can look back in their lives and think, oh yeah, that dirty rascal, you know. But as Christians, we're to forgive those people and we're supposed to move on. Rather than nurturing that pain, rather than nurturing that hurt. I've known people who've taken a crisis in their lives between other people and have built it up so much that almost all of their waking hours, they spend time figuring out how they're going to have revenge, how they're going to punish that person or like those groups of people that had done them wrong. And this morning, I want to encourage each and every one here to let that go. Because we see in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 through 31, a verse of strength and where our strength comes from. Isaiah says, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? That Yahweh is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable." We were talking a little bit about that in the adult Sunday school class this morning. How God's holiness, how God's righteousness, how God's pureness is containable than anything that you or I could ever even begin to imagine. We compared it to a hyperactive child, you know, that God's power and God's purity and God's holiness and His righteousness is everywhere. Just like the hyperactive child will seem as if he's or she is everywhere at the same time. And there's no way you can get away from him, and you think you're hiding from him, and you're not. Well, God's holiness, God's righteousness, and God's power is even more awesome, more awe-inspiring, in greater places and greater ways than even those hyperactive children that we can think of, that we can recall in our minds from times in the past. It says in verse 29, He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youth will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait on Yahweh shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I don't know about you, but just the idea of that eagle, mounting up like eagles. You know, the problem is, and I got a story that I'm going to take a few minutes to tell, most of us are unwilling to take up those eagles' wings. When I was younger, I heard that I was told this story in connection with this passage of Scripture. It is a story of two young eagles. You know, eagles, they tend to keep their nests high, either at very high trees, or they keep them up on the side of a very tall cliff to where the little eaglets, if I understand that's what they're called correctly, when they're young, are away from trouble. They can't be reached. They can't be harmed. Well, it just so happens that there was two eaglets in this one nest, and they fell out. And they fell to the ground. And they're frantic. They're searching for their mom and their father. They know that they're eagles and that they should be able to just spread their wings and take off. But because they were so young, their wings weren't developed enough to catch the wind and to give them that lift that they needed to be able to soar back into the nest, or at least back to where their parents were at the time. So they began to walk around, calling for their mom and dad. Mom! Dad! Before long, a turkey, a hen, comes up and asks these eaglets, "What's the matter? Why are you calling for your parents?" "Oh, well, we've fallen out of the nest, and we can't get up there, and we don't know where our parents are." And so this turkey, this hen, says, "Well, let me see if I can help you find your parents." And for days they go about calling for mom and for dad and never are able to find those eaglets' parents. And finally that hen says, "Well, let me do you a favor. I'll raise you as my own. I've wanted to have my own turkeys, but to this point in time, I haven't been able to lay any eggs. So why don't you be my baby turkeys, and I will take care of you." And she taught him, as every good mama turkey would do, how to go through the fields and find the seeds and the grubs and the cockroaches and all of the things that turkeys eat that's in and on the ground. She teaches them how to paw through even the cow piles to find the best beetles. Isn't that appetizing, Kendra? Not at all, is it? Especially for an eagle. You know, and one of the eagles became known as his Jerome. And every time a wind would blow by, he could feel that wind under his feathers and under his wings as they grew stronger and stronger. And he kept feeling as if he should be able to be lifted up. He kept having visions of being high in the sky and soaring. He would be in those pastures, and he would be going through the piles of manure looking for the best dung beetles and looking at those cows and thinking, that would be so much better than these old dung beetles. I wish I could have me a nice T-bone steak about 2 inches thick done on the grill, medium rare. No, that's me. Anyways, got a little off focus there, didn't I? But he eyed those old cows and thought, oh, that would be good. Sometimes in the distance, he could see rabbits eating on the grass early in the morning. And he could feel himself thinking, oh, how I would love for some rabbit this morning. Oh, I bet that would be so good. And all the time, he didn't understand that he wasn't a turkey, but that he was an eagle. Finally, one day, he gets separated from the, I don't know, I know doves are called coveys. I'm not sure what they call a bunch of turkeys together. But anyways, huh? There we go. We'll call them a flock. That'll work. He gets away from the flock and lost in the woods. And he looks up and he says, he sees an owl. He says, Mr. Owl, you're so wise and you're so high in that tree. Can you tell me where the flock of turkeys are? I'm lost and I'm afraid. I've been separated from my parents and from everyone that I've ever known. And Owl looks down and says, you're no turkey. You're an eagle. No, I'm a turkey. My mom and my dad, they're turkeys, and they've taught me how to live like a turkey. And that owl looks down and says, no, you're not a turkey. I tell you what, try this. Spread your wings out and flap just a little bit. So that old eagle spreads out his wings and he begins to flap just a little bit. And before you know it, a breeze comes by and he's all of a sudden off the ground. And he realizes as he's in the air that he's got vision that's unbelievable. He can see small things on the ground that he didn't know he could see. He sees all kinds of rabbits. He sees all kinds of muskrats. He sees all these things that look so tasty. So he swings back around and he says to Mr. Owl, he says, Mr. Owl, you seem to be very wise. What else am I supposed to be able to do as an eagle? And he says, oh, well, eagles, they get the pick of whatever it is they want to eat. If you like rabbit, there's plenty of rabbits, and from your vantage point, way in the air, you can see those rabbits. And you can pick out the fattest, juiciest rabbit in the area. If you decide you're in the mood for some good squirrel dumplings, or squirrel, whatever, you can see the biggest, fattest, juiciest squirrels from way up there. And you were born to soar, and you were born to find the biggest, juiciest, most luscious meals available to an eagle. And so that eagle's flying, and he finds his turkey mother, his turkey father, and his brother that fell out of the nest with him. And he goes to his brother, and he says, brother, we're not turkeys, we're eagles. Come with me. Soar with me. Fly with me. This is great. We don't have to eat dung beetles anymore. We don't have to pick for grubs. We don't have to settle for seeds. We can have the best of everything. Come, brother, join me. Watch this. His brother says, no, we're turkeys. This is our mama turkey. This is our daddy turkey. These are all of our cousin turkeys and aunt turkeys. I'm going to stay here because we are turkeys. Now, the gist of the story is, do you want to soar like an eagle? Or are you willing to live like a turkey? Unfortunately, too many of us have forgotten, as Christians, we're eagles. We have the ability to soar like eagles. We have the ability to fly like eagles. And as we look at this passage in Isaiah 40, the first thing that we see is that Yahweh, our God, is the everlasting God. The creators of the ends of the earth. He doesn't faint or grow weary, and His understanding is unsearchable. We serve, truly, the greatest God that ever has, because He's the one true God. The one true God. The second thing that we see is that He gives power to the faint. You remember back in the old days, women would wear these curved sets, and they'd pull them so tight that when the room got just a little bit hot, they would go out. I can remember reading about it anyways. I can't remember it. But anyways, those who feel faint, those who feel weak, God gives power. Yahweh gives power. He strengthens the powerless. He gives the weak, He gives the powerless power. Then the third thing that we see is, but those who wait for Yahweh shall renew their strength. When you're beginning to feel tired, when you're beginning to feel wore out, when you're beginning to feel weak, when you feel as if everything around you is crushing you, keeping you down, maybe even it feels as if it's destroying you, Yahweh, our God, will renew our strength. The third thing we see, we can mount up with wings like eagles. We don't have to settle for living like turkeys. We don't have to settle for anything less than God's best for our lives. We'll be able to run and not be weary. I can hardly wait for the day that I can actually say that. If you were to try to get me to run, you know, if you were to pull out a gun this morning after the morning service, say, okay, Mark, you know, I'm gonna shoot at your feet if you don't start running. I'll just simply take a few steps around and say, go ahead and start shooting. Because I can't run very far. Well, I don't know. You're shooting at me. I might be able to run real far. But anyways, we'll be able to run and not be weary. We'll be able to walk without fainting. Regardless of what's happening in our lives, in our worlds, in where we live, where we work, where we fellowship, where we eat, whatever it is that we're doing, we'll be able to walk without fainting. These are the promises. These are the promises for those who believe in the one true God of the Bible and in His Son, Jesus Christ, that was given to take away the sins of the world. This morning, the question and the challenge that I have for you is, do you want to fly like an eagle? Or do you want to root, dig, and settle for the life of a turkey? My challenge to you is, let's fly like an eagle. Now this morning, there's an auditorium full of folks that have taken the first steps of salvation. They've repented of their sins. They've been baptized for the remission or the removing of their sins. And at baptism, God's Spirit has become a part of who they are, become a part of their life. And this is available to you. As a disciple of Jesus Christ, this power, this strength, this running without fainting, the life of an eagle is available to you. By simply resting, praying, being the disciple that God would have you to be, imitating Jesus Christ to those around you. But there may be others this morning who've never taken that first step in the walk of salvation. I encourage you this morning. So you have the ability to be like an eagle rather than settling for the life of a turkey. I encourage you to take that first step in salvation. Repent of your sins. Let's plan on that baptism so that your sins can be removed and you can have eternal life, the beginning of eternal life. During the song this morning, I'll be standing off to the side so people can see the sign or see the screen and sing along. But if you haven't ever taken those first steps of salvation, I encourage you to come over and talk to me. And I'll pray with you today and we'll plan that baptism, time of baptism. Our Heavenly Father, I pray this morning that I'm talking to a group of folks who want to be eagles. I pray, dear Lord, this morning that I'm talking to a group of folks that don't want to settle for a life of being a turkey. I pray as we leave this place this morning, that we'll endeavor to become the disciples you would have us to be so that we can soar just like an eagle. So that when things become overwhelming, when life becomes harder than it seems like it should be, Lord, we have the ability to continue to work without fainting. We'll have power. We'll have strength. We'll have the ability to continue keeping on. I pray, Lord, if there's any here who hasn't begun this walk of salvation, I pray, Lord, that today might be the day they make that decision. We thank you and we praise you for everything that you do in our hearts, in our lives, and in and through our church. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.